Billy Graham, on a visit to New York, recalled a story which I'm going to tell you. Some years ago, the great thinker Albert Einstein was on a train bound for New York City. And as a ticket collector came walking through the car, Einstein reached into his pocket for his ticket, but he couldn't find it. He frantically searched his pockets, his coat, his jacket, but he still couldn't produce the ticket. Ticket collector said, "Don't worry, Mr. Einstein, we all know who you are, forget about it." So about 20 minutes later, the ticket collector came back through the car. By this time, Einstein was on the floor, searching everywhere for his lost ticket. Again, the ticket collector tried to reassure Einstein by saying, "I told you not to worry about the lost ticket. We trust you bought one, and that's good enough for us." Einstein looked up to the railway employee and said, "Young man, this isn't a matter of trust, but of direction. I need to find the ticket because I forgot where I was going." Well, do we know where we're going? Have you lost your way? Probably most of you know that I'm supposed to be speaking about Samson this morning. I wasn't sure you were going to know, so I had some giveaways. Bad hair days. You always wondered what he looked like without lacquer, didn't you? But of course I am talking about Samson. This is a biblical interpretation or a film interpretation of what he might look like. And Samson, unfortunately, has a very bad reputation. The tabloid press would have a field day if they about the exploits of Samson. Samson runs wild and kills 30 Philistines for their clothes. Samson's wife burned to death. Delilah beds Samson. Philistine harvest destroyed by Samson. And so there could be lots more such headlines that you could retrieve from the book of Judges as it talks about Samson. And Samson was known as a judge in the book, and the book of Judges in the Bible is a book about heroes, men, women who delivered Israel from their oppressors. And the purpose of the book is to show that God's judgment against sin is certain, and his forgiveness of sin and restoration to relationship are just as certain for those who repent. The Israelites had a habit of falling into sin. A key verse in chapter 17, verse 6. "In those days, Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." And so in the beginning of the story of Samson, we also read, "Again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who kept them in subjection for 40 years. The suffering was not caused by God, but resulted from the fact that people ignored God. He was their judge and ruler." So let me tell you a bit about Samson. Samson was a miracle child promised by God to a barren couple. According to God's command, Samson was to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite took a vow to be set apart for special service to God. One of the stipulations of the vow was that Samson's hair could never be cut. Samson grew up wandering about with his tribe, the tribe of Dan. They wandered in yet unconquered land, the tribe inherited through Joshua. The land was occupied by the Philistines. And the Philistines were fierce warriors. They had the advantage of numbers, tactical expertise, and technology. For example, they knew the secret of making weapons from iron, which the other nations didn't. They were stuck with bronze. Samson was called to rescue Israel from the Philistines. And to help him accomplish God's plan, he was given enormous physical strength. Unfortunately, Samson did not always take his special God-given role seriously. In the first incident, Samson falls in love with a Philistine girl from Timnah. He wanted to marry her, but his folks said, no, that's not right, you should marry somebody from your own tribe. But that didn't stop him. He went ahead and married, and before the wedding, he had a party for the men. A sort of stag night, I guess, nowadays. And he gave them this riddle, which he bet them they could not solve. However, the men forced Samson's wife to get the answer out of Samson, and Samson was furious that he'd been tricked. And he paid the bet. The bet was to provide two sets of clothing for each man. So Samson took the clothes from 30 Philistines, which he killed from a nearby town. And then Samson went home to his parents. Samson is known for his feats of strength. He killed a young lion with his bare hands, ripping the jaw apart. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And another time he spent the night with a prostitute in Gaza, a Philistine town. Philistines were out to capture him, and since the town was sealed off, they decided to wait until morning and capture him then. But at midnight, Samson got up and went through the main gates, the city gates. He literally took hold of the gates, the posts, the locking bar and everything else, took them out of the ground, carried them to the top of the hill and dumped them there. Samson, of course, is best known for his love of a woman named Delilah. He was seduced by her and was completely infatuated by her. And Samson gave up on his God-given task for a love of a woman of different culture who worshipped a different god. And again, the Philistine leaders went this time to Delilah and bribed her with a considerable sum of money to find out what made Samson so strong, so they could overpower him and tie him up securely. Delilah agreed and made 3 unsuccessful attempts while Samson lied about the source of his strength. But eventually Samson got fed up with Delilah keeping nagging her, and he tells Delilah his secret, that his hair has never been cut because he has dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If his head was shaved off, his strength would leave him. He would become as weak as anyone else. So let's read what happens. Judges 16, verses 15 to 21. Then Delilah pouted. How can you say you love me when you don't confide in me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. So day after day she nagged him until he couldn't stand it any longer. Finally, Samson told her his secret. My hair has never been cut, he confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth. So she sent for the Philistine leaders. Come back one more time, she said, for he's told me everything. So the Philistine leaders returned and brought the money with them. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head on her lap, and she called in a man to shave off his hair, making his capture certain. And his strength left him. She cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes and took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains made to grind grain in the prison. Four times Delilah took advantage of him. It's reckoned that she was paid the equivalent of £9 million to betray Samson. You would have thought by the fourth time Samson would have realized what she was about. But look at this verse 20. he did not realize the Lord had left him. It's been described as one of the most tragic statements of the Old Testament. Samson was unaware that he had betrayed his calling. He had permitted a Philistine woman to rob him of the sign of his special consecration to the Lord. We think Samson foolish, but I wonder how many times we allow ourselves to be deceived by flattery and give in to temptation and wrong beliefs. Do we not live in a time where people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes? So often we hear or see of one of our Christian values undermined by the direction which society is going in. Galatians 5:19-21, we read, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." And we can see now in that passage some of the things that Samson was guilty of. And we quite often rush on to the next verse, which talks about the fruits of the Spirit, when sometimes we need to perhaps consider how our lives stand up to scrutiny, whether we have abandoned God's laws for daily living. Jeff Lucas, in his book about Samson entitled "There Are No Strong People," suggests that the vast majority of us are capable of good and bad, sacrifice and selfishness. We spend all our days hovering between good and evil, neither masters nor saints. Samson lost everything. He lost his hair, his strength, his sight, his position, his family, and his reputation. The mightiest man Israel had ever seen ended up in a Philistine dungeon, blinded, humiliated, grinding corn like an ox, a laughingstock. But it's not over until God says it's over. So we come to the ending. And Samson in the end recognized his dependence on God. At his lowest point, Samson cried out to God for mercy, and he got it. His hair, his strength grew again, and as a result, his greatest moments of ministry were his last ones. Let's read the ending. Judges 16. 22-31. But before long his hair began to grow back. The Philistine leaders held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power." Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can perform for us." So he was brought from prison and made to stand at the center of the temple between the two pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the servant who was leading him by the hand, "Place my hand against the two pillars. I want to rest against them." The temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine leaders were there. And there were about 3,000 on the roof who were watching Samson and making fun of him. And Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me one more time so I may pay back the Philistines for the loss of my eyes." And Samson put his hands on the center pillars of the temple and pushed against them with all his might. "Let me die with the Philistines," he prayed. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine leaders and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than during his entire lifetime. Later, his brothers and other relatives went to get his body. They took it back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had been Israel's judge for 20 years. Samson lost his way. Samson wasted his life. He could have strengthened the nation. He could have returned his people into worship of God. He could have wiped out the Philistines. But even though he did none of those things, Samson still accomplished the purpose announced by the angel who visited his parents before his birth. In final act, Samson began to rescue Israel from the Philistines. And it's easy to criticize Samson. He was before Jesus. Samson does get a mention with honor in the New Testament along with other judges. In Hebrews 11:32 in the New Testament we read, he is simply listed as those who overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. So what can we learn from the story of Samson? Well, I think there's two things that stand out for me. One is that God still calls us to holiness today, just as he did in the days of the judges. People still do what is evil in the Lord's sight. And we are called to live a life that reflects God's way in a society that does not. God provides us with the resources to live out the Christian way, but it often means turning away from the way of other people. I was disappointed that Tim Fallon felt the need to resign as leader of the Liberal Democrat Party. A Christian man who wanted to stand for his beliefs and would not accept compromise. One of his fellow MPs harshly said he was running for Prime Minister, not for Pope. A more extreme situation is that in October this year, people will celebrate the 50th anniversary of the 1967 Abortion Act. 8.5 million unborn lives have been lost since 1968, equivalent to the population of London. And even this last week, the BMA, the British Medical Association, has voted to decriminalize abortion. And there are also determining efforts to end life by euthanasia. There's the whole question of genetic modification of embryos, and the whole debate about homosexuality. And we are called to be, as Paul said, temperate in all things. Second thing I believe we can learn from the story of Samson is that there's always a way back to forgiveness. God has demonstrated through history that he's ready and willing to receive repentant hearts. Samson regained his strength and his hair grew back and he confessed to God that he had failed miserably to uphold his calling. So God forgave him, gave him his strength back for one massive victory over the Philistines. Despite Samson's past, God still answered his prayer. God still loved him. And if we get nothing else from the story of Samson, let's get this one. Don't let guilt feelings over sin keep you from your only means of restoration. No matter what you've done or how far you've gone away from God, he's ready to hear from you and restore you to a right relationship. If God can work in Samson's situation, he can certainly work in ours. What a difference it makes being a Christian. So God is waiting for you if you need forgiveness. However badly you may have failed in the past, today it's not too late for you to put your complete trust in God. If you have fallen short and not fulfilled your calling in Christ, he is there waiting for you and will set you straight and put you back on track. We often read Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, but I think it's quite apt to read it again. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, a kind you will accept. When you think what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God calls you to and you will know how good and pleasing His perfect will really is. I finish with a verse from Psalms. Show us your mighty power. Come to rescue us. Turn us again to yourself, O God. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Let's pray.